This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get the latest on Syria now, just days after President Bashar al-Assad fled the country. CBS News military analyst, retired Colonel Jeff McCausland, joins us now on KMOX. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning to you, Megan.
Tell us about the insurgency that is now in control of Syria.
Well, the insurgent group is called HTS. It's headed by a guy named al-Jolani. It's important to keep in mind, this particular organization has been on the State Department terrorist watch list, quite frankly, for a long period of time. Al-Jolani has a $10 million bounty on him. And previously, the organization had ties, as did he personally, with Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Now, they claim to have broken those ties back in 2016 and concentrating their efforts now solely on the liberation of Syria. But they had controlled Idlib province as a rebel area in the northern part of the country for a number of years. This conflict had kind of frozen for the last 4 years. In a lightning move, about the 27th of November, they began an offensive south. Syrian army just melted away as they eventually have now made their way to Damascus. President Assad fled the country, now under asylum in Russia. And they are trying to create now, the HTS, a coalition or of governing salvation in Damascus. Now, it remains to be seen whether they'll be successful. There are a number of other competing organizations and groups throughout Syria. One, Syrian Democratic Forces, supported by the United States. Another group called the Syrian National Army, supported by the Turks, and various other groups, to include ISIS, in Syria. So the question now is, can there be some effort to find some degree of political stability in this country, or do we see continuing widespread chaos?
You mentioned the U.S. interest. How many countries do have an interest or a presence in Syria?
A number. The United States, certainly about 900 U.S. troops, and we conducted about 75 airstrikes over the weekends against ISIS targets. The Russians have two large bases, one naval, one air, and actually propped up Assad for a number of years with airstrikes back in 2015 and 16. Now they stand to lose those important bases. Iran had for many years a very strong presence in Syria, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard using that as a conduit to move men, material, weapons, et cetera, across Syria in support of perhaps Iran's primary client, that being Hezbollah, who's now in disarray after a recent war with Israel. And then last but not least, the Israelis and the Turks. The Israelis in the south have moved in, occupied a buffer zone area established at the end of the war with Syria back in 1974. And conducted over 400 airstrikes across Syria in the last few days, trying to destroy residual Syrian army military capabilities chemical weapon sites, missile sites, etc., and the Turks in the north that host over 3 million Syrian refugees on their territory, and as I said, support one group that they would like to see become more and more influential. So whether these groups can reconcile or whether they'll turn on each other and whether these external powers will try to influence the outcome, those are the hard questions ahead.
How could all of this impact international relations between all of these countries and especially the U.S. status in the region?
Well, historically, you've seen as great powers compete over a third country, they can then directly be called into conflict. That's certainly a possibility. And strangely enough, the United States supporting one group and the Turks supporting another group could find our interests conflict, even though ultimately we are a NATO allies. And then finally, of course, the United States in particular is concerned about the fact that while no one in Washington is going to weep for the passing of Bashar al-Assad, without a doubt a brutal dictator for several decades, no one wants to see now a group come to power in Syria that might have close ties with al-Qaeda and ISIS, might be an extreme Islamic jihadist-type group, and make Syria into something like Afghanistan. This could then become a platform for broader worldwide terrorism.
We're expecting a change in our administration here in the United States, peaceful one, but how could that impact our interaction with Syria at this point?
Well, the Biden administration has taken a somewhat active role, as I said, in Syria, continued the presence of 900 U.S. soldiers on the territory of Syria and conducted 75 airstrikes just over the weekend against ISIS targets. And Mr. Trump had removed U.S. forces that were on the northern border of Syria very precipitously, resulting in the resignation of then-Secretary of Defense Mattis. In a couple of statements in the last few days, Mr. Trump has said, you know, we shouldn't get involved, seemed to indicate he might pursue pulling out the residual U.S. forces. So those are sort of the policy options. One, to continue to try to move forward, to try to at least encourage the emergence of a government that might be more politically moderate in Syria, or stepping back and allowing others to do so and risking the possibility of the arrival of a more extreme government in Syria. That'll be the choices Mr. Trump has when he comes to office on the 20th of January.
What concerns do you have that evidence of some of the cruelty of the Assad regime will be lost in all this turmoil right now?
Yeah, certainly that could be the case. Assad himself has been granted political asylum in Russia, though he might be charged by the International Criminal Court and should be for war crimes and crimes against humanity, the possibility of him being ever tried is unlikely. The incoming regime, HTS, it says they will give amnesty to all the soldiers that fought for Assad, but hold accountable those officers and government officials that committed unspeakable cruelties on people in prison all across the country. But you're right, in the turmoil that's ongoing, whether or not we can see any of those held to be accountable remains to be seen. And furthermore, there's a young American journalist by the name of Tice, who's been in prison in Syria for about a decade or more. Some believe that he may still be alive. And in all this chaos, is there a possibility of freeing him? That's just one example. That also remains to be seen, though the Biden administration has said they are trying to seek his release if possible.
CBS News military analyst, retired Colonel Jeff McCausland, thanks so much for your time this morning on KMOX.
Thanks, Megan.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.